And we're back. Welcome to yet another episode of Deep Thinking.
Not, 21.
Not just one of, but the premier exclusive high quality, low competition motorcycle road racing podcast. I'm Michael Gugis. You can find my insane rantings about motorcycle road racing and everything else, anything else that strikes me, at motorbikeroadracing.blogspot.com.
And I'm Ed Sorbo, and you can find me at le-suspension.com.
By the way,
Easter eggs.
Easter egg. Oh, that's right. We're going to talk about Easter eggs.
We are.
Yeah. But are we going to mention my wife this time?
No. So what you're talking about is we just recorded show number 21 while we watched the MotoGP race from
Austin.
Circuit of Americas.
Yeah, Texas.
And we decided that it went so long that we're going to publish it up as a bonus.
Yeah,
so this
yeah,
is actually 21. And Sandy was contributing to that other show.
Plus, we made a cut. We made a reference to her in a picture.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Easter eggs.
Go ahead, Ed.
So if you listen carefully in the past, you will notice references to movies and such.
Right.
So an example would be when we talked about Tyson's T-shirt that right. says, "I love the smell of the universe in the morning," and the picture of coffee cup, etc. I said, "Great movie," and of course the reference is to Apocalypse Now.
No.
I love the sound, smell.
It's the wrong reference. You know what the best line in that whole movie is?
What is the best line in that whole movie?
The whole best line in the whole movie? I think it's Robert Duvall who yells, "Charlie, don't surf!" That spawned a song from The Clash, dude. That was awesome.
So the Easter egg was the reference to the movie, right? And obviously, if I say Michael's in trouble because I'm all out of bubble gum, we all know what I'm talking about.
I don't.
I can't.
Oh, where are we? Oh, it's a.
I'm here to kick ass and chew bubblegum.
Yeah.
I'm all out of bubblegum.
Who did Escape from New York? John Carpenter. It's a John Carpenter film. I don't remember the title of it.
Yeah.
It's got.
You have to have the shades on so you can see that they're aliens and all that stuff. It's a great movie.
I think it's a movie with. It's got one of the longest fight scenes in Hollywood.
Okay.
It's like the two actors are like, tell everybody else, yeah, just go away for a while. We're going to do this.
There will be more Easter eggs.
Right.
And there'll be things like references to movies.
Right.
Or lines from children's books.
Right.
All kinds of stuff in that kind of category. And if you can find the ones that are already there.
Right.
Or future ones.
All right.
And you let us know. And remember, you have to figure out how to do that yourself.
Right.
We're hoping that we're going to get, what's that company with the snacks?
Hickory Farms. Ed, you got
to
know the name.
Pony up.
You got to know how to use the name of the sponsor.
Well, they haven't sponsored us yet.
Yeah, well, we're on that. They're not going to do it if you keep screwing up the name.
So that's it. There's the idea. So keep your eyes out for, or your ears perked
right
for Hickory Farm for Easter eggs.
Good,
we'll get you Hickory Farms.
That's what you just want your sponsor
that
wants to
Eddie
hear.
Life is never dull when he's around.
You know what,
Easter egg.
Oh geez, the your sponsors want you to just be blurting the name of their product out, you know, just randomly at various times.
You know, I was watching MotoGP qualifying last night,
right,
and that was possibly the best qualifying effort ever. However, if I have a guy like Marquez riding my bike,
right,
I'm thinking, like, if I go, hey, you know what? That bike blew up. You got to run over here and jump over that. And that's just going to guarantee it's going to be Marquez times two, and he's going
to
do that, right?
I have two things to say about that.
Okay.
Number one, I don't think it was I don't think the light came on the dashboard. I think the boy is so good at what he does. He was able to do all of that insanity and then come back into the pits and decompress for a moment and think, what lie am I going to tell the press
to make
Honda look good?
For sure, he's thinking fast. And you know, another way you can break that thing down. Okay, let's line you guys all up. You're getting ready for a race.
Right.
And put you in your leathers. And never mind the part where you're out there and you're starting your flying lap and you got to also be paying attention to the bike. We're not going to test you on that.
Right.
You're just going to jump over this wall.
Okay.
Right, so that takes care of a quarter of them, right?
Right.
Okay, now you have to sprint 150 yards in your leathers to your bike. Okay, half of them fall over gasping from that, right?
Right.
Then you have to go out of the pits, maintain the speed limit all the way to the end of the pit road.
Right.
Okay, that takes another half of them, right?
Right.
They're too excited, right?
Crazy Joe's then gone at that point.
Do a warm-up lap without crashing. Okay, that takes out another three.
Right.
Right, and then, you know, That was magnificent, right? Because it wasn't just
spectacular.
One thing, right? It wasn't just playing chess at 300 miles an hour.
It was the mental control.
That's the commitment.
That's the thing that's got to scare Go ahead.
Also knowing, shit, I think the, okay, I better stop now. Because if he went past that point,
right,
then no chance.
Right.
Right?
No, no, dude. It's just, you know, the guy is the package. Maturity, yep. Common sense. Yeah, just, I mean, just, it was one of those things where you just go, he's not really going to do this.
You know, I saw him jump over the wall and I thought, he is going to set pole.
And then,
you know?
And then you read later, it's funny because everybody made a big deal later about, and he was even on the wrong tire. It's like, you know, you could have shot that guy and he would have gotten
That's what
pole,
I'm saying,
right?
It's one of those things where the guy is so amped that he's going to pull it up. The best line, though, is Diviosa, right?
Right.
He follows the lap. Right. He sees all the mistakes and he still went 0.4 seconds faster than me. That's impressive.
Do you know, I read, I think it was Julian Ryder who posted up something on superbikeplanet.com, who talked about the little miracles in qualifying that you see if you watch this long enough. And he made a reference to Doohan. Do you remember the Doohan lap that he's talking about?
No.
It was years ago, and I might get a little bit of the detail wrong because, that just happens with age. But basically what it came down to was there was a red flag at the end, towards the end of qualifying. Everybody was going to go and get one lap, basically, or it was rain or something like that. Anyway, everybody was going to get one lap, and everybody was starting from pit lane. So, you know, there's only, you're going to lose a little bit from pit lane. All the other riders waited right at the exit to pit lane. Burgess made Doohan line up at the back end of pit lane.
No pit lane speed limit.
No pit lane speed limit back then. So when everybody else cleared out, and all of a sudden here comes Doohan laying on the tank, throttle pinned through the pits, put it on pole. And it was beautiful, just beautiful. The I love qualifying.
So it was a fantastic race weekend.
We're getting there. I love qualifying in general as a race fan. Saturday afternoon is one of my favorite days of parts of the whole weekend.
Okay.
Because the rider takes for 2 minutes, just brain out. Here,
I won't be needing
this for a moment.
We just demonstrated how Marquez did it with brain in.
Marquez did it with brain in, but Marquez does a lot of things that I can't do. Most of the other guys,
I
like it. I like qualifying. I love watching qualifying.
I get the idea that you're talking about, but at this level, nobody ever turns their brain off.
Oh.
You know, one thing that I noticed watching the lead up to it, there was just a brief moment, not going to say which team it was, but there was a conflict on screen between two mechanics.
Right.
One mechanic was pointing at what turned out to be a tire warmer for the back of the bike.
Right.
And the other guy ignored him and continued putting on a work glove and then went to the front of the bike where there were two mechanics already working on the bike, and he did something that I couldn't tell what it was. And then the other guy, the first guy, picked up the warmer and started installing it, right? So
right. He's
trying to get the warmer on that much quicker. When, of course, we don't know which of those guys was the guy who wasn't doing what he should have been doing.
But clearly one of them wasn't.
Some conflict was there. And so the point of this is that, so you watch the rider comes off the track and there's
right.
a guy waiting and he catches his bike, right?
Right.
And that's always the same guy.
Right.
And he turns the bike around however he does it. Like the Honda guy rolls the bike forward and turns right and grabs the front brake and the bike goes doing,
right?
And the Yamaha guy does it smoother and somebody else grabs the foot peg and drags the back, right? Whatever. It's always
right.
the same guy. And they back it into the parking spot and then there's guys waiting and there's the front stand guy and the rear stand guy and there's the tire warmer. They have a routine.
Right.
And then when they get the word after the debrief, which is a different crew of people, right?
Right.
Then the guy, okay, I'm going to change the tire. And boop, boop, boop. So what that means is, there's a guy who's keeping track of all the tires,
right.
making sure they're on the warmers and the pressures are set, and they've got
right.
all the possible options ready all the time.
Right.
And then he knows that when he want another hard or another, it's this one.
Right.
Right. So that guy's taking care of that. And then there's the guys that are doing the front, and you watch the front wheel change carefully, right?
Okay.
There's a guy on each side, and there's a guy in the center.
Okay.
Caliper, axle, wheel out, wheel in. Axle, caliper. Remember, they got the quick release caliper thingies, right? On the back, there's usually two guys, one guy on either side. One guy's doing the axle nut, the other guy, right? They have a routine. They practice it, I'm sure. They talk. So that
there's no that surprises
system broke
on that
down.
Stuff.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that system doesn't break down in the Movistar Yamaha team or the Repsol
no.
Honda team.
And when you watch the Moto 2 and the Moto 3 guys, there's springs on top of the toolbox. There's
oh, yeah.
right.
So crazy.
They got less guys.
There's
at the top level.
Yeah.
There's one guy to do one side of the front tire and one guy to right. And
right.
at the lower level, that one guy is doing all the stuff, and so there's not as much time
there's
in organization.
There's earplugs in the toolbox.
Exactly.
There is all kinds of nonsense.
It's really... Watch closely. The coverage is really good.
Dude, there's a reason that you can give a satellite team Marquez's bike.
Yeah, it doesn't go as fast.
The
team part is huge.
It's not just the rider.
No.
It's not just the rider, you know? Hey, Ed, wait, before we go any further... We're checking the stopwatch. You know what time is it? Where are we at?
I don't know what time it is. We're halfway. It's 10 minutes.
What time is it? What was I gonna say? What time is it?
It's really easy to lose your train of thought.
My train of thought is hobbling along on two wheels in the conductor's
trunk. Your choo-choo has gone chugging around the bend.
Exactly. Reminds me. Never mind. I won't even mention that cartoon. I wanted to issue an apology to our readers. Remember, I wanted to say that I was being a sexist and sex-oriented or sexual orientation.
You were being a man.
I was being a pig. No, no, not a man. That should not be a man. I was being hetero-oriented, when I should have thought, instead of saying, I wish I was a girl.
No, you said if I was
a girl,
I would flash the people on the
International Space Station. Why do I have to wait? There's gay guys up there. Well, there's female astronauts.
We don't know their sexual orientation.
You know what?
Hey, but there are female astronauts.
I'll tell you something. Gay,
she's going to need a big telescope.
No, she's not really going to know what I'm talking about. Hey, look, gay, straight, male, female, they all want to see my body. I'm reasonably convinced of that. So therefore, next time that bad boy comes over, look out, astronauts. There's going to be a full moon if you know what I'm talking about.
There's an app for that.
What, yeah. Looking at my crank?
Exactly. Michael's ass.
Like cranksightings.com. It's too late to send the kids out of the room.
Besides MotoGP,
it was a great
weekend.
Great race.
It was a great race. And you can hear all about it on our exclusive extra podcast.
Extrasode.
Deep thinking.
No, can't use that. Can't use that.
There's also a World Superbike at some other track.
Right. Aragon.
And then there is round one of Moto America's American Superbike season. Was running, actually could even be going on right at this moment, at COTA right now.
Right.
And the question is, what's it like when you have your premier national level event and you have to share with a world level event? So from the marketing side, it seems like a slam dunk, right? You're like, are you kidding? All those people are already there. It's a great venue.
You've got all the good stuff. You'll have an
yada,
audience.
Yada, yada, yada. And you're going to, you know, the TV. Okay, fine.
Right.
But then I live in this real world of practical stuff where I got to deal with it, right? And the example I have is all the times we were at Laguna Seca I was a worker with Moto America, with MotoGP.
MotoGP.
Did you ever do World Superbike? Well, so I was a racer when we did World Superbike, and that was fantastic. First of all, the World Superbike guys are a little less picky. They're a little more flexible.
It's way more chill.
There's more sharing going on,
right?
And so for the 250 GP class, it was fantastic because they had the two World Superbike races on Sunday, right? And there's time between them.
And there's also, they don't bring their own support classes.
Right, it's
they
just them,
have.
Yeah. And so when you're making up the schedule and you got the two main events, which are going to be World Superbike Race 1 and 2,
right?
The time in between, you want to make sure nothing goes wrong.
Right.
Well, you put the 250s on the track. We almost never oil the track.
You have no oil.
We carry very little oil. You know, right? We don't blow up very many. There's not that many of us.
Right.
When we crash, we don't usually do big damage because we're really light.
Right.
So it was great for me. The 250 race was always prime time right between the two World Superbike races, which, you know, from my perspective, World Superbike was there to warm up the crowd. And then after the premiere event, they were there while they were leaving.
Exactly.
Because all the people there
having seen Ed Sorbo, the crowd could leave now, right?
So when I go to work as a crew member for various teams during MotoGP at Laguna.
And once again, it's only MotoGP. It's only that series. They didn't bring any of the support classes. So you are the support races.
Right.
The big support races.
But the problem was... and the best example I have for you is, okay, the MotoGP teams get whatever garages they have. That makes perfect sense, okay? And then behind them, they got their vehicles, their transporter vehicles or whatever parked, right? Okay, fine. Behind them, they have a big lot for their rental cars.
Right.
That's half empty. And then we have to be beyond that.
See,
right? because MotoGP has a contract for specifically what you have to supply, and it makes sense from their point of view, and I understand it and all. But now I've got to push the generator another 100 yards or whatever just because some guy has to be able to park his car within 10 feet, right?
What is the point of being a GP star if you can't park your car right next to the garage?
Well, you know what? It wouldn't have been bad except they had more than twice the space in there. Right. So the point is they weren't even trying to work with us at all.
Right.
And then you got the thing where you have to go down the pit wall and set your stuff up starting 10 minutes before practice starts. Uh-huh. And you have to have it out of there 10 minutes or whatever after practice is over. And you can't ride your bike through the pits. So, like, if you're a privateer guy, you can't do your normal thing, which is have your pit set up in the paddock,
right.
Go out, practice, come back in. You have to move
Push your bike down, right?
So it just was way, way more difficult, you know, to operate while you're there. Now, I get it. When you're on the track part, is all fine. Okay? So then now fast forward to we got Moto America going on. And from what I could tell by looking carefully, stopping the pictures, they had the American teams, Moto America teams, as close as you could physically get. They're basically right there.
Okay.
There wasn't a whole bunch of rental cars parked between where the rigs were and where access to the track was.
Okay.
And, yeah, the teams clearly had to set up their easy ups on hot pit road in front of the garages, but there's no other option. It wasn't like they were being, you know, forced to go in the North 40.
And working from those easy ups, that's not terrible.
Well,
teams have got a pretty nice setup in there.
It's not terrible, but remember, you got to have a crew of people to get them there.
I know.
If you're the big teams, you got those people. But if you're just a privateer guy trying to do it on your own, it's impossible by yourself.
Okay.
But understanding that the way racing is being done is different from how I was doing it, right? I traveled around by myself for 6 years. You can't do that anymore. Okay, fine. You're going to have crew. But then, so the weather was bad, and then the schedule gets pushed back, and the dog's on the track.
You're at the bottom of the totem pole.
And so now your premier event, national level race, is running. We had to shorten the race. We hope we're going to get them before dark. Right? And to my perspective, at some point, it's great to be there, but when is it not worth it?
Right? Exactly.
And if you go into this situation, trying to make this, we have to be there no matter what. I think then you set yourself up to be treated horribly and it can work out bad for you.
Well,
you have to go in with the idea that do we really want to be there and is it really worth it and all that kind of stuff.
I have a couple of brief anecdotes to me that really did a good job of illustrating the difference between the MotoGP paddock and the World Superbike paddock. Ed right now is finishing a cinnamon roll the size of his head because we're still waiting for the Hickory Farms food to show up, and we've been forced to resort to cinnamon rolls. This is awful. A couple of years back, MotoGP, walking behind the garages, I walked behind Lorenzo's garage. I think I might have told you this. Laguna wears out the knee puck on the left side really quickly, so guys will double stack the knee puck. Okay, they'll actually epoxy one on top of the other.
Okay, I don't think it's for that reason, but go ahead.
Oh, it is.
No.
No, it's totally.
It's a lean angle reason, but go on.
Yeah, you lean over so far that your knee is on the deck for so long, you can't get your knee out of there, off the ground. But I digress. Whatever. Lorenzo, for whatever reason he wanted to have a double-stacked knee puck, he had a double-stacked knee puck, okay? Now, you epoxy it on. You wait till it dry, and the thing that I saw behind the garage was some dude with a sander who was beveling off the edges so it was like just one big smooth knee puck.
Okay.
Dude, these guys had shipped a container of equipment around the world, and somebody had a grinder, a hand grinder, for the possibility that they might need to smooth out some knee pucks.
Well, they have a lot of things they could use a grinder for.
Yes, but
so,
still.
But what does this have to do with sharing events with world level?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
It depends on who you're sharing it with and at what status. Okay. When you go to MotoGP, it's about MotoGP.
Well, absolutely.
Little incident is that level of preparation and detail that the big teams bring to it. A couple of years later, World Superbike has replaced MotoGP at Laguna. I saw a pair of tighty whiteys hanging out of the back of Tom Sykes' garage on a stick. Yeah, but like, we've gone from the dude with the grinder to airing out Tom's underwear.
Which has nothing to do with whether or not you should bring your national event and share with the world event.
I disagree, and this is why. Especially if that's the difference, if that's the level that MotoGP is thinking at, okay, then you're going to be so far down the totem
pole. That's my point. That you're treated so badly, it's not worth it.
And it's not that it's you're treated badly.
No, you're treated badly.
But that's from your point of view as a participant, and that's valid, okay? But what's the public perception? Is that these guys aren't important?
Yeah, that's
the
a
thing.
Problem. Yeah.
You know, that's the thing that kills me.
So my thought is getting towards making a decision about it is, if MotoGP is there with their full package and it's a full schedule, you want to share with them, be on a separate day.
Or,
race on Monday, race on Thursday, whatever.
Or don't bring your premier teams. Or don't bring your premier series.
You could do that. That's been done.
Or
look, if Moto America and MotoGP are connected in some way now,
right,
then let's have us be part of the MotoGP thing, not a totally separate whenever there's time.
Yeah.
Because the reality is somebody's going to get hosed when the weather's bad and all.
Right.
And if you make all the hosing happen to one group,
right,
it's really, really bad.
Well, just
whereas
like
if everybody shares it, it's not so bad. And my other point, please.
Oh, go ahead.
Why can't Americans run races decently? Apparently, this dog lives at the track and has been on the track before. They had a contract that told them how many corner workers we needed to have, and they needed to be available to be for inspection.
Right.
The American attitude is, well, we know how to run shut, and we're just going to run it our normal way, and you're asking for too many corner workers.
And
they have a reason for it. You signed the
contract.
There's
a contract,
you agreed.
Right?
Do the job properly.
Yeah.
Apparently, those guys have been running races better than we are for a long time. Maybe we could learn something from it instead of having a stupid attitude. What was the waving yellow flags for Marquez's bike about? The bike was parked on the left side of the track.
Right.
You cover that with a stationary yellow flag. You don't have two waving yellow flags on each side going into the braking zone.
Maybe they started waving the yellows when he was pulling off.
No. After he ran, it was like the second lap.
Okay.
Then the flag started to wave. During qualifying.
Right.
They didn't need waving yellow flags for that. I'm blaming poor American way of running shit for that.
Could be.
Because I never see that in Europe.
It worked. It worked sharing MotoGP weekends when you had just the Harley class that showed
up
there.
If you just want to send one class, then you can make it work. And that's what they do with Red Bull kids.
You're right.
They go to some events and whatever, right?
Yeah.
And those guys, they do have to jump through a lot of hoops, and it's a pain in the ass and all. But it's not the nation's premier group that's being made to look like ass.
Yeah.
Now, I understand we're going to give Moto America a pass. This is their first race. It's an opportunity. Let's take it. Let's see if we can make it work. I think it looked like, besides the weather problem, the Moto America guys appeared to have done a pretty decent job. You know, there's not a lot of data yet. I didn't see it.
And that should bring that'll bring us to our two-minute board.
Do you have one?
I do.
Okay.
And it has to do with Moto America.
Yes.
Did you happen to see at what time last night they released the results?
They posted the results late, but I know the race started really late because of the delays.
Right.
What I saw on Facebook, it was already starting to get dark, and I know they had to shorten. I don't know how long that was. It took them to get timing and scoring figured out. But let's give them a pass
I'm just saying, there's little stuff that you got to look at very early. That's been one of the real problems with our national series.
It is tough to do timing and scoring for the reason I don't know. But there's plenty of guys that don't have those problems, like the Canadian Superbike Series.
Right.
And Wira.
Exactly. We can put a gay woman on the International Space Station to look at my crank. Why can't we get timing and scoring right at an AMA national?
I'm yet to see the proof about the space station, but we'll see how they do today, hopefully.
Yep.
Good. He's Michael Gugis.
He's Ed Sorbo. Thank you so much for joining us at Deep Thinking. Aloha.